All right. Good morning, H2O. How are you guys doing this morning? Good? Good. Glad to hear that. I hope you're doing well. I hope you had a great weekend as well. Today is the last Sunday of July, which is kind of unbelievable to me, honestly. The summer flew by for me this year, which I'm kind of bummed about because summer is my favorite season of the year. Is that the case for anyone else here? Summer's your favorite? Okay, some of you, yeah? There's some of us, okay. Well, there's several reasons why I love the summer so much. First, I feel like everything is like full of life, like so green. You know, I really like that. I get to spend more time with my family over the summer, which I really like that as well. I get to enjoy the outdoors in a ton of different ways, like whether I'm riding my bike, whether I'm hiking, whether I'm swimming, whether we're out there playing Ultimate Frisbee, right? Whether I'm even just doing yard work, right? I just love just getting to really like enjoy the outdoor activities I get to do during the summer. And on top of all of that, my wife and I are both huge baseball fans. Yeah, there you go. I'm actually going to the Reds game today, this afternoon, so that'll be fun. But yeah, and then the summer is the heart of the baseball season. All right, so that contributes to why I love the summer so much. But our summers here in the Midwest also give us some big thunderstorms, right? Very, very characteristic of our summers here. And I actually have a story about those thunderstorms that I want to share with you here this morning. All right, so a handful of summers ago, I was in my hometown in Southern Ohio, and I was like meeting with some people there to actually share about our ministry here in Cincinnati. One of the meetings I had was with one of the prominent farmers in my hometown and his wife, and they wanted me to like meet them at their house. And their farm was, and I'm sure still is, like picturesque. You know, just like think of like classic farm, and it was like that was it, right? Just like, you know, these real tall, healthy crops as far as I could see. Right, this cute little farmhouse and well kept barns and a really well kept lawn as well. It was great, and I had this meeting with them and that went really well. It was super encouraging, but as I was leaving, like we all walked out of the house, and there in front of us was this massive thunderstorm that was just kind of like hovering like over the horizon, right? And this is like a farmer's field, right? So you can see a long way. But yeah, there was this massive thunderstorm there. And this thing was like the thunderstorm of all thunderstorms, right? Like the clouds of this thing were like some of like the darkest, biggest, like most intimidating clouds like I had ever seen. Right? One of those storms where you can like see the lightning like jumping around, and it even had this kind of like low growl, right? Like when it with the thunder, right? You're just like, whoa, it's like that thing's like alive, right? And it's moving. And it was one of those thunderstorms that like brought like legitimate darkness, right? Even though it was like the middle of the afternoon. Have you ever experienced that? It's like 3 p.m. and it's dark and you're like, this is not good, right? And this storm was so great and so big and so powerful that it immediately captured like my heart and my mind. Because of the storm, I said goodbye to the farmer and his wife so they could get inside. I could get into my car. But right after that, I actually noticed that instead of coming towards us, the storm was actually moving like sideways across the horizon. Okay, and like since that was the case, I could have easily gotten to my parents' house from there without crossing the path of the storm. But again, because my heart and my mind were so captured by it, when I got in my car, I actually drove towards it. Instead of away from it, right? And I drove towards it until I got to this like big open field, and I just like put my car in park, and I just really sat there in awe as I just watched this huge thunderstorm like roll across the horizon. But as I was watching it, I had a hunch about something, okay? And sure enough, within just a few minutes, the clouds started to come closer to the ground. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. And I was watching it, right? And like just over the course of time, these clouds started getting closer and closer to the ground. It's like, okay, got it. And this is is about 3 or 4 miles away, right? So I'm not just like, you know, right here, right? It's about 3 or 4 miles away, right? But I'm watching it, and I'm watching these clouds drop to the ground until I saw this little dust cloud, circulating dust cloud, start to form underneath it, right? And it was a tornado, right? And I did not know that's what I was, like, setting out to see, right? But it was awesome that I got to, like, see this tornado. And it was only on the ground for a few minutes before it dispersed, and the storm eventually moved on past our area. Right, but this storm just left me in, like, so much awe, right? And I was so humbled by it, right? Because it was so great and so big and so powerful. And the Holy Spirit actually used that. He used my experience with this storm to teach me so much about the fear of the Lord that Christians are called to walk in, right? The fear of Him, let's see, I'm off my notes. There it goes. The fear of Him whose way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and who makes the clouds the dust of His feet, as Nahum talks about. Right? The fear of Him. During our time together this morning, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the fear of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit made it very clear to me that He wanted me to preach on this today. And I've honestly been very eager to preach on this today. Because the fear of the Lord is something that is so important, so powerful, and so transformative for us. First, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, right? Just welcoming Him here in this place with us, and asking to bless our time together here this morning, and then we'll jump in. Okay, so please bow your heads in prayer with me. Father God, already, God, we just stand in awe of You. God, Your greatness, Your holiness, Your power, Your purity. God, that You are God Most High, the Lord God Almighty, the One who heaven roars the praises of, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." God, we stand in awe of You. And God, thank You that You are here with us, Lord, that You are a humble King, even in Your greatness and Your power, and You come to us. And Lord, we welcome Your presence here with us today. And God, we just pray just for Your rich blessing over this time that we get to spend together today. Lord, I pray that every single one of us here would leave this place more in love with You, more in awe of You, fearing You more than we arrived this morning, Lord. And God, we love You. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can open up to Psalm 128. I'll give you a second to turn there. I also have the scripture up on the screens behind me for you to follow along that way, if you'd like to. And we'll be jumping around to a number of different scriptures this morning, but Psalm 128 will be what we return to most frequently. So that's kind of why it's our main scripture reading for this morning. Okay, Psalm 128. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Okay, here we go. Starting in verse 1 of Psalm 128, God's word says this. "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. And may you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel." Blessed are all who fear the Lord. The first line of this psalm. And the Bible is full of story after story after story of people who experienced and lived in the blessing that came from fearing the Lord. But the Bible is also full of stories of people who neglected to fear the Lord, or who chose not to fear the Lord and the ruin that came upon them. So just even in light of that, I think it's fair to say that the fear of the Lord is incredibly important. And that brings us to the first question I want to speak into this morning. It's this: what is the fear of the Lord? Right? In light of how important the fear of the Lord is, it is essential for all of us to know the answer to this question. Right? And here's the definition I have for you. The fear of the Lord is a deep reverence, awe, and respect for the Lord that compels us to loving devotion, genuine worship, and a passion for holiness. Okay, I'm going to read that one more time. The fear of the Lord is a deep reverence, awe, and respect for the Lord that compels us to loving devotion, genuine worship, and a passion for holiness. And this deep reverence, awe, and respect for the Lord is cultivated in us by who the Lord is. His greatness, His holiness, His power, His goodness, His glory, His majesty, His wisdom, and everything else about Him. As we behold the Lord in His greatness, in His holiness, in His power, in His wisdom, and in everything else, this deep reverence, awe, and respect is developed, is cultivated within our souls. And the fear of the Lord is the human soul's natural and proper response to the reality of who the Lord is. And since we were created to be in a personal, loving relationship with the Lord and in the presence of the Lord forever, the fear of the Lord is actually the state that our hearts and our souls were created to always be in. Right? This is the state that we've been created to always be in. And I want you to understand that this is not bad news or unfortunate news. But rather, this is actually very good news, because the fear of the Lord is a very good and wonderful thing. For us as Christians, the fear of the Lord is not a terror that drives us away from God or makes us want to run and hide from God. It's this profound reverence and awe and respect for the Lord that actually draws us to the Lord, that draws us even deeper with the Lord. And the biblical fear of the Lord allows us, and really even empowers us, to still have hearts that are full of peace and full of joy and full of life, even while actively fearing Him. Why? Because He is the God of peace, because He is the God of joy, and because He is the God of life. I want you to listen to what Nehemiah says in chapter 1 of the book of Nehemiah. I love this scripture. Nehemiah is praying to the Lord, and he says, "O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name." Isn't that such powerful language? He says, it's my delight to fear you. I want to fear you. I'm glad to fear you. And it was Nehemiah's delight to fear the Lord, not because he just loved to cower in this terrorized fear all the time, but because he understood what the true fear of the Lord was, and because Nehemiah loved to behold the Lord in His greatness and His holiness and His power. And he loved what it did to him. He loved how it moved him deeply. He loved how it moved him to fear Him and to draw closer to Him. Right? So do you fear the Lord? Is this how you view the fear of the Lord? That it's a delight for us to fear the Lord. It's a blessing to fear the Lord. It's such a good and wonderful thing. And here's the second question I want to speak into this morning. Why? Why should we fear the Lord? That's a fair question. And the first reason we should fear the Lord is that the Lord is worthy to be feared in this way. The Lord deserves to be feared in this way. And we have to understand who it is that we're talking about when we say the Lord. And what I mean by that is not just like, oh yeah, that it's God. Well, yeah, that's clear. But no, truly, who is He? What is He like? This is the God whose name is Yahweh. He who lives in unapproachable light, who no one has seen or can see. He who is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He who nothing and no one compares to. He who held back the Red Sea as two towering walls of water and instantly dried up the seafloor so that his people could escape their oppressors. He who led his people by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night in the desert. He who protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He who shut the mouths of lions to rescue his servant Daniel in the lion's den. He who freed his people from slavery in Egypt by sending the 10 plagues on the land of Egypt. He who causes the mighty mountains to quake and the hills to melt away at his presence. He who causes the valleys to split apart like wax before the fire. He who shatters rocks by his wrath. He who heaven roars the praises of. He who makes earth itself tremble at his presence. He who has legions of angels ready at his command. He who perceives every act, word, thought, and motive of humans from his heavenly throne. The one whose feet are like bronze glowing in the furnace. Whose eyes are like blazing fire. Whose voice is like the sound of rushing waters, and whose face is like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. And his resume keeps on going. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is worthy to be feared. All right? How could we not fear the Lord if all of that is the reality of who he is right now? And forever. He is so worthy, and I want us to be a church of sons and daughters of the Lord who fear him in the way that he is worthy of. Amen. And several times throughout the scriptures, after God would move in a way like this, after he parted the Red Sea, right, after he did all of these things, the Bible says that his people's response was to fear him with this biblical righteous fear that we've been talking about. And that's the effect that it should have on us as well, to fear him. Second reason why we should fear the Lord is that the fear of the Lord leads us to greater intimacy with him. Right? In Psalm 147, God's word tells us that the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. So it's not that it's just our delight to fear the Lord, but it's also the Lord's delight when we fear him as well. It's mutual delight. And in Psalm 25, God's word says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. And both of these scriptures make it clear that the Lord enjoys it so much when we fear him. Again, he delights in it. And remember, as I say that the fear of the Lord is not this terror of him. The fear of the Lord is a fear that is rooted in awe, in awestruck wonder. And in reverence of him. And that is why he enjoys it. Not because he wants you to cower, but because he wants you to enjoy him. Right? Yes, we have been called to know the Lord and serve the Lord and worship the Lord and all of these things. We've also been created to enjoy the Lord as well. Right? And that is such the heart of the fear of him. Right? This awe and reverence of him. So because of these things, because the Lord delights in this, because he confides in those who fear him, we will go to greater depths of intimacy with him as we grow and mature in the fear of him. Right? And just think about that list. Right? He who makes the mighty mountains quake, the hills to melt. Right? He who was that fourth man in the fire. When King Nebuchadnezzar stood up, he says, who is that fourth man? I see four in the fire. Right? He who split the Red Sea. Right, he who shatters the rocks with his wrath, right? That we can have intimacy with him. That we can go into his throne room and say, Abba, Father. Right? And Abba is this very personal name for Father. Right? Loving, relational name. Right? How amazing is that through Christ Jesus, that this is the guy we can approach with freedom and confidence, to find grace and mercy and love. And let this stir your hearts for the gospel. When we say that Christ reconciled us to the Father, this is the guy that Christ reconciled us to, right? that he is our Father, and that is good news. That is eternally good news. Another reason why we should fear the Lord. Walking in the fear of the Lord brings the Lord's blessing on us and those close to us. Returning to Psalm 128, God's word says, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord." So these verses make it abundantly clear, this idea that fearing the Lord, walking in the fear of the Lord, right, brings the Lord's blessing on us and on those close to us as well, which is significant. When we talk about the Lord's blessing on us like this, that doesn't necessarily mean, right, that it's going to be like earthly health, wealth, and prosperity, right? Even though our minds might be quick to be tempted to go there, right? But the blessings that we can expect, though, are things like the blessing of greater intimacy with the Lord, as we just talked about. The blessing of the Lord himself and honoring him. The blessing of the Lord's favor. The blessing of life and joy and peace in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The blessing of the Lord's faithful provision. The blessing of security and contentment in the Lord. And the blessing of unity and other things like that. Right? And in this conversation, right, surrounding like the prosperity gospel, that can be very common in our modern day, right? That does say, "Oh, God's gonna just dump, you know, this jet and Lamborghini and mansion, right, in your front yard, right? That is health, wealth, and prosperity, right?" And we try to stay away from that, which is good, right? Because we don't agree with that, right? We don't endorse that. But we have to be careful that we just like chop our thought of it as like the Lord's blessing completely. Because the Lord's blessing of us is still a very important theological concept, right? That the Lord does like bless us, right? And that his favor can shine upon us, right? Again, not Lamborghini, jet plane, mansion, right? But these things are even better than that, right? These things of the heart, these things of the soul, right? And I really want us to not chop that, right? To keep an accurate view of like the blessing of the Lord. And the fact that the Lord does bless us and he wants to bless us, right? And again, we clearly see that walking in the fear of the Lord, it brings the Lord's blessing on our lives and those close to us as well. And I hope that's just a motivation, an added motivation here for us to fear the Lord. Right? Fourth reason why we should fear the Lord is that the fear of the Lord has profound practical effects on us. Okay? Profound practical effects. And these effects that the fear of the Lord has on us are for our good, because God himself is for us and for our good. In Jeremiah chapter 32, the Lord is speaking of an everlasting covenant that he's making with his people. Oftentimes, if you look at Jeremiah 31, it's very clear that God is prophesying like the new covenant. But here in Jeremiah 32, God is continuing to talk about an everlasting covenant here. And this is what it says. God speaking, he says, "They shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for their own good and the good of their children after them." Right? This is the God that we're called to fear. The God who is for us and for our good. And again, right here, this is in the Old Testament, but it's talking about an everlasting covenant, right? He's talking about us as well, right? So the fear of the Lord is not just an Old Testament thing. The fear of the Lord is an eternal thing, including right here and right now. Right. And I want to get into what some of these effects are that fearing the Lord has on us. And the first one is this. The fear of the Lord deepens our devotion to the Lord. Okay, looking at verse 1, Psalm 128, one more time. God's word says this. "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him." And I want you to see here that there are two action phrases here in this verse. All right, my mom's here. She was an English teacher for a while. All right, so look at me go. Action phrases. Yeah, right. right? So there's two action phrases here, right? Fear the Lord and walk in obedience to him, right? And I want you to see, and I want you to know that these two phrases are very connected, right? These aren't just two independent things that are saying here. They're very connected. They're very connected here in this verse from Psalm 128, but also across the entire Bible. And all week this week, the Holy Spirit has just been highlighting this so much, how connected these things are. Like the fear of the Lord and us walking in obedience to him. And look at some of these other verses that I've pulled. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, the Lord is speaking about his people to Moses, and he says, "Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever." A few chapters later, Moses is speaking to God's people, and he says, "So keep the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him." And later, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, Samuel's speaking to God's people, and he says, "If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well." So we see this connection over and over and over and over again in the scriptures, right, between the fear of the Lord and obedience to the Lord. And here's what it is. The fear of the Lord is what compels us to obey the Lord and serve the Lord and love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, right? Or in other words, the fear of the Lord deepens our devotion to the Lord. And as I mentioned earlier, the fear of the Lord is cultivated in our souls as we behold him, right? This isn't something we just muster up ourselves, right? It's like, yes, we have a responsibility to say, yes, okay, I'm going to commit myself to the fear of the Lord. I am going to fear the Lord. Yes, we have a responsibility there, but it's created by the Lord and as we behold him, right? It is stirred up in us. It is produced in us in that way as we behold him in his greatness and holiness and all of these things, right? And when that happens, as we behold the Lord and as this fear of the Lord is cultivated in us, we are compelled to devote ourselves to him. We're compelled to obey him and serve him and love him. Right? And this is like the greatest command, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Right? And I'll tell you how I approached that for a long time. I would see that and be like, okay, yeah. You know what? I would look in and I would just try to muster up as much strength, as much giddy up, right? As much motivation as I could and be like, okay, I am going to fear the Lord with all I got. And you know what? Pretty quickly, I would just faceplant, right? And not do a very good job, right? And I was just in this endless cycle of that. Like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do better this time, you know? Yeah, and then faceplant, right? But then the Lord taught me something. He said, "Trev, what if you try just fixing your eyes on me and you see what happens?" And you know what? When I did that, when I just was focused, I put my focus on him. I took my eyes off of myself and what I was just trying to muster up, and I just put my eyes on him, and I beheld him in his greatness and glory and power and majesty and holiness. Guess what? At that point, then there was no other option than to love him with all that I was, with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind and all of my strength. Right? Because it wasn't me just like focusing on myself. It was me focusing on him and being compelled into that by him. Right? That it was actually him that produced that in me. Right? That we need the Lord for the Lord. We need the Lord to obey the Lord. Right? He compels us. Right? And this is what the fear of the Lord does. Right? We behold him. This fear of the Lord is cultivated in us, and that compels us to be fully devoted to him. Amen. All right, the next effect fear of the Lord has on us, and it's kind of on the coattails of the last one, but I wanted to emphasize it, is that the fear of the Lord turns us away from evil. Okay, fear of the Lord turns us away from evil. Big question, right, that people are asking. Christians are asking, secular people are asking, what is wrong with the world today? Right, everybody knows there's just something that's not right. Right, there's something broken. Right, what is wrong with the world today? We know Romans 3 tells us that's because there's no fear of the Lord in front of people, right? It is because people are not fearing the Lord, right? It is by the fear of the Lord that we turn away from evil. So without the fear of the Lord, there's just rampant evil, right? Proverbs 16:6, the Bible says this, "By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil." The fear of the Lord wrecks our sin, right? Just absolutely wrecks our sin. And when we recognize God's holiness and God's justice, we become more aware of the seriousness of sin, and we are compelled to repent of it and avoid it. And inspired by the Lord's holiness, we develop a passion for holiness and a hatred for sin. Remember, that was one of the things in the definition I gave you, right? A passion for holiness. Right? In chapter 8 of the book of Proverbs, God's word says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. So this speaks into that hatred of evil that comes with the fear of the Lord. And we hate evil, we hate sin, because it is not of the Lord, because it opposes the Lord, and because it even grieves the Lord. We hate evil and sin because the Lord hates evil and sin. And this passion for holiness, this hatred of sin, destroys a tolerance of sin in our own lives, but also in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ as well, as we hold them accountable, right? And as we push one another on towards righteousness and holiness. So the fear of the Lord actually gives you permission and actually encourages you to call out, to confront your brother or sister in Christ when they're in sin, right? In a loving and humble spirit, of course, right? But the fear of the Lord really encourages us, compels us to do that as well. And one more scripture here on this point. It's 2 Corinthians 7:1. Paul writes this. He says, "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord." Right? So as Christians, the blood of Jesus, right, washes us clean of our sin, makes us holy in the eyes of the Lord. But the Christian life is still a life that is called unto holiness, right? That we are called to really just grow in righteousness and holiness, not to earn, like, love from God, not to earn salvation, right? But the Christian life is a call unto holiness. 1 Peter 1 talks about that. We studied that here this summer, all right? And it says here, right, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Because this fear of God makes you passionate about holiness. My God is holy, and I want to be like my God. My God loves holiness, I want to love holiness. Right? This one that I'm beholding, this one who's so great, is so holy. I want to be holy because he is holy. Right? And the fear of the Lord is what produces this in us. The next effect, keep moving along. Fear of the Lord delivers us from all other fears. Right? Zach talked about this last week in his sermon as he walked us through Psalm 27. Right? How the Lord just crushes all other fears. Right? The fear of man, the fear of death, the fear of our spiritual enemy, the fear of failure, the fear of circumstances, the fear of anxiety. The fear of the Lord delivers us from all other fears because a greater fear triumphs over all lesser fears. Amen? A greater fear triumphs over all lesser fears. And the fear of the Lord is the greatest fear that there is. Right? The fear of the Lord comes and just demolishes all of these other fears. Zach shared this scripture with us last week from Psalm 27. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Right? And what's David doing here, right? He's fixing his eyes on the Lord. He says, "Lord, this is who you are. This is who you are to me. This is how great you are." Then what's he say? "Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" It's actively happening in David there, right? The fear of the Lord is coming in and absolutely crushing all these other fears. Right? And the fear of the Lord actually equips us with confidence and courage. Listen to this from Proverbs 14:26. It says, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence." and his children will have a refuge. Right? And this confidence is produced because you're like, okay, this is who the Lord is. I don't have confidence in myself, but I have confidence in him. And he is my God. And I have entrusted my life to him. Right? Or in the book of Joshua, right? God is speaking to Joshua about leading God's people into the promised land. And he says this. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Right? Why was Joshua called to be strong and courageous? Because he could do it himself? No. But because the Lord, his God, was going to be with him wherever he went. Right? And because of that, he had courage. Because of that, he had confidence. Because of that, he could encounter anything. Right? Still have that confidence and that courage because of the Lord. Right? So the Lord delivers us from all other fears. Before I tell you what the next effect is, I want to ask you a question. By show of hands, who here wants to be wise? You want to be wise? Yeah, good. Glad to see that. But yeah, of course, all of us. Right? All of us want to be wise. Like, wisdom is such a desirable virtue. Right? Well, in light of that, the fear of the Lord leads us to wisdom and to knowledge. Proverbs 9, verse 10, in God's word says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So what's this talking about? I mean, primarily it's saying that the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom and true knowledge. It's saying that you can't actually truly be wise. You can't actually have true wisdom without the fear of the Lord, right? Because everything flows from the fear of the Lord, right? That yes, that this is kind of the first step, but it's not saying that, oh yeah, okay, you know, fear the Lord, and then you graduate from that, and then you can go into these other things of wisdom. It's like, no, like, the fear of the Lord is underneath all the wisdom, right? The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom, right? It's where it begins, and it's where it continues, right? And the fear of the Lord doesn't just lead us into any wisdom, right? It leads us into the Lord's wisdom and the Lord's knowledge, right? The fear of the Lord humbles us to a posture of submission before the Lord so that the Lord's wisdom becomes our wisdom, right? We are operating on his wisdom. We're submitting to his wisdom, right? We're aligned with his wisdom. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God is destined for our glory before time began. Right? So he clearly says, this is the wisdom we're operating with, the wisdom of the Lord, the wisdom that comes from fearing the Lord. Right? The wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit within us, who in Scripture is even referred to as the Spirit of wisdom and of revelation, right, in the book of Ephesians. Okay, so there are four reasons for you as to four effects rather that the fear of the Lord has on us. And with the time we have remaining here, stick with me a little bit. I want to talk to you about some practical ways that we can grow in the fear of the Lord. Because this sermon would be incomplete without this section. Right? So there's some practical ways you can grow in the fear of the Lord. First, pray and ask the Lord himself to grow you in your fear of him. Okay? Don't try to grow in the fear of the Lord all in your own strength alone. Press into the Lord and ask him to help you grow in your fear of him. Because he wants to. He wants to help you in this. He wants to come alongside you. 1 John chapter 5, God's word says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. And friends, I can tell you with certainty that it is in the will of the Lord for you to grow in your fear of him. That he wants you to fear him in this biblical, righteous way. Right? So you can have confidence in asking God to help you grow in this. And there's even an example of this. In Psalm 86, we see David calling out to the Lord to help him go deeper into the fear of the Lord. He says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Right? He says, Lord, help me in this. Grow me in this. Okay? So call out to him. Next, know the Lord through his written word. Spend consistent personal time with the Lord in his written word. Earnestly pursue what the Lord has revealed to us about himself and his greatness and his glory and his majesty. In his word, there is so much there. So much there. Right? And the Lord will reward you for earnestly pursuing those things. Right? For earnestly going through his word. Right? To behold him. Right? To know him. And as you spend that time with the Lord, like meditate, like take your time. Take your time. Meditate on these things. Meditate on his greatness and his glory and his majesty and his holiness, his power, all of these things. And I want you to know or remember that there are certain things in our faith that go beyond our words, right? That go beyond our conscious thoughts and go beyond our understanding. Right? These are the things of the Lord that are simply too great and too awesome for like our words and our conscious thoughts and our understanding to kind of wrap themselves around, right? But they are things that our souls, at least to a certain degree, can still experience, can still behold at right? This deepest part of us. Because I think sometimes, and I can be guilty of this too, sometimes the deepest we'll go with the Lord is as deep as our words will go. We'll be as deep as our conscious thoughts will go. We'll be as deep as our understanding will go. But I can't tell you the number of times that I've like been with the Lord, like in his word, or just in prayer, or that he's just moved in some way in my life. And it just leaves me speechless. Where I can't pray, I can't talk, and I can't even articulate what it is that I experienced. But at the same time, it is the most real thing that I have ever experienced in my life, right? And these things, what these things are, these are things that are surpassing my words. They're surpassing my conscious thoughts. They're surpassing my understanding, right? But I am still beholding the greatness and the glory of the Lord. Something is still happening to my soul. Something is still happening to my heart, right? And this bothered me at first. Right? The first few times it happened, I just couldn't pray. I couldn't think. I couldn't speak. It's like, what is happening? Right? You know, did the Lord just shut me out of his presence? I thought we were having a great time. Right? Then I realized it was actually like just the opposite. That I was actually so deep with the Lord that I was like on his lap. And my words just couldn't describe it. My thoughts couldn't think it. I couldn't articulate it, right? So go deeper, friends. Go deeper to that point where the Lord just unravels you. Right? And I'm not saying that has to happen every single time. It has to be thunder and lightning bolts every time you're in the Word. Right? But man, let's pursue him together in that way. Next, spend intentional time in musical worship and adoring prayer. Okay? When we are like just like worshiping and adoring the Lord, we're actively reflecting on who he is, right? What he is like, what he has done, and we're exalting him for those things. Right, so as you spend this intentional time in prayer, in song, right, being really intentional with those things, this will certainly help cultivate the fear of the Lord within you. And something real quick as well, this part about like adoring prayer, something I want to challenge you in, if you don't do this already, sometimes just go to the Lord and don't take any requests to him. Just go and adore him the whole time. Spend 20 minutes, 30 minutes just adoring him. That's it. And see what happens. The places you'll go, amazing. Right? Places you never thought possible. If you'll just go to him and just adore him. Right? And absolutely, the Lord loves to hear your requests. I'm not saying that. Right? Take your requests to him, absolutely. But sometimes, just go to him for him and adore him and spend that time with him. Okay? Two more things. Practical things. Surround yourself with God-fearing people. Okay, walk alongside Christians who take the fear of the Lord seriously. As humans, we have tremendous impact on each other. We influence each other so much, whether we realize it or not. And if you surround yourself with God-fearing people, I guarantee you will find yourself growing in the fear of the Lord as well because of that influence and impact that will have. Okay, chapter 13 of the book of Proverbs, God's word says this, walk with the wise and become wise. Right? For a companion of fools suffers harm. So it gets to this idea that like, okay, you know, these people who are walking in this, you spend time with them, that will even help you to grow in that as well. And lastly, be zealous for the Lord. In Proverbs 23, God's word says this, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. We talk about, we think about, and we go after the things that we're zealous about. Right? So if you want to grow in the fear of the Lord, be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Commit yourself to the fear of the Lord. And you'll see its fruit. Right? And like a healthy, strong muscle, the fear of the Lord is something that is developed and grown and maintained in us through intentionality. Right? So whether you're here today and you're like, you know what, I feel like I don't fear the Lord at all. Or whether you're here today and you're like, yep, I fear the Lord. I got it. All of us who are here today can continue to grow, can continue to go deeper in the fear of the Lord. And that will be the case like for a lifetime, right? For all eternity, right? So we can all grow, and we all should. And a final effect that the fear of the Lord has on us, before I wrap up, is this. The fear of the Lord strengthens our worship. Okay? So I've already mentioned a handful of times as I've been explaining this, the fear of the Lord that the Bible talks about is not rooted in terror. It's rooted in awe. It's rooted in wonder. Right? It's rooted in this posture that says, my God is an awesome God. Right? And when we walk in the fear of the Lord, when we are awestruck by the Lord, worship is not routine, right? It's real, right? It's genuine. In just a couple of minutes, Lucas is going to come up here, and he's going to read a psalm over us, and he's going to lead us in scripture-guided prayer. And here's what I want you to do in that time. I just want you to meditate on who the Lord is. The words of the psalm, maybe even other words that the Lord just like brings to mind or brings to your heart. I just want you to meditate on who the Lord is. And I want it to usher you into a place of the fear of him. That here in this space together this morning, let's take steps to go deeper in the fear of the Lord. Let's behold him. Right? And let's allow that to lead us into a place of that genuine worship as we go in to the second worship set. Okay. And I'll close with these words from the book of Ecclesiastes. Now all has been heard, and here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Let's pray. Abba, Father, God, we are just so moved that we can even say those words to you. God, that we can pray to you, and God, you hear us. God, that what your word says, that God, you incline your ear to us. God, you are the God who splits the valleys apart, who parted the Red Sea, who shut the mouths of lions, who was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Lord, that you led your people by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. That you are he whose feet are like bronze glowing in the furnace, that your eyes are like blazing fire. The hair on your head is white as wool, the golden sash around your chest. Your voice like the sound of rushing waters. And Lord, with that voice, you say, my child, my son, my daughter, come to me. Lord God, we thank you. We praise you. We stand in awe of you for that, Lord. God, I pray that all of us here this morning and moving on from here, Lord, that we would grow in our fear of you. Lord, we would be sons and daughters of yours who fear you, who see you right, Lord. And Lord, we would be compelled to that loving devotion, the genuine worship, the passion for holiness. Lord, we would just be compelled unto you, greater depths with you, Lord. Lord, capture our hearts. Capture our minds. Capture our love. Capture our affection. Capture our devotion. Lord, you are a consuming fire. And Lord, we pray, come consume us, Lord. Consume us in your Holy Spirit fire. God, we love you. Oh, how we love you, God, and we stand in awe of you. In Jesus' name, amen.